Got to be in a little bit in a hurry there, didn't I? Good morning to all of you, and I wish you God's grace and mercy and the peace that can only come through our Lord Jesus Christ. What are we doing here this morning? I think it's a valid question. We ask ourselves that regularly. And the answer that I want to give you is one that I have given you regularly. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, and it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then one other place that we tend to forget many times, and I want to remind us of that this morning. Again, this is not the only thing that we do here. None of us are islands. And many times we try to act like islands. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses. Fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the second thing that we do, is that we have fellowship. We believers, we need fellowship. We need to get together. There are people who crawl in a hole somewhere and stay in that hole, and they don't ever come out of that hole because they wind up in that hole. God never intended for us to live like that. God intended for us to have fellowship with one another. God intended for us to move forward and for us to be with one another, because we need that. The last time I shared on speech, and one of the comments that I made in the message was that if the mouth is full of what the heart is, if the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, then why not just speak on what the heart is? And that's what I want to do today. Today I want to look at something that is much needed in our day and age, and I'm simply speaking for myself. The text verse this morning is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And the title of the message is The Source of Encouragement. Philippians 4, 8. The last little part of that verse has something that I want to focus on this morning. And that is simply this. It says, and with the first word of that verse, we can tell that Paul is bringing this letter to an end. He says, finally, brethren, he's wrote a letter to the Philippian church, and he says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And I want to focus especially on that last little part of that verse there. Meditate on these things. The control of the mind is, I would say, in my personal opinion, is the control of the mind without the Holy Spirit, without being a born-again child of God, I would say is almost impossible. And some of you might say, well, why is he saying almost? Is it not completely impossible to have complete control of your mind without Christ living within you? And the reason I said almost was I read of this story, and I think there are more stories like this. In the 1960s, you are probably aware that we were involved in the Vietnam War. There was a man in charge. There was a president elected in Vietnam as a president, and he brought forth all kinds of laws that favored the Catholics, and the country was 90% Buddhist. And the laws were going against the Buddhist, and the Buddhist didn't know what to do. They are peaceful people. I think some of that has changed, but originally they were a peaceful people. They didn't really get involved in war and different things like that. So these monks had decided they had to protest in some way or another. They sent out news that they gave a certain location and said, tomorrow morning something big will happen here. And because it was for monks, the media didn't pay much attention to it. And so there weren't very many people that went to look at what was going to happen, but there was one news reporter, one journalist that went, and he was from the Associated Press. And what happened is there was a group of monks, and one monk sat down, and I can hardly even tell you the story without getting emotional. But one monk sat down in the way that monks sit when they meditate, with legs folded. He sat down on the pavement. Another monk walked up and poured gasoline over his head. The monk himself set himself on fire in protest. He sat completely still. He twitched not a muscle through the whole thing, and it took about 10 minutes. From the time he was set on fire until he folded over backwards were 10 minutes. That is some mind control, and that's why I said almost. And you could probably make the argument that maybe it was satanic, I don't know. But the human being has this thing between their ears that is very, very hard to control. The average person has a hard time controlling their thought life. We have, and it almost always goes to one place, but there are many places that we could take this to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, that portion of scripture there is very important to me. It has spoken to me many times, but it starts off in the third verse with this weapon that we have and this thing that we need to deal with. And if you would keep your fingers in Philippians 4, we want to go back there in just a little bit. But I want to spend some time here, and I will cut some of it out this morning. I won't finish this whole message, but I want to bring out the point that I cannot be encouraged by someone else, and neither can I encourage someone unless I am capable of controlling what's between my ears. It is not possible. The world, with all its traps, the flesh, and the enemy, they are so busy trying to take up that space between your ears, you will walk around with your head between your legs if you allow it. You will be discouraged always. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." We are given instructions here. Following this, we will be given instructions on this war that we're in. So the first point we want to make here is that we are in a war. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, brings every thought captive into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." The attention that we need to bring here is simply that we are in a war. Too many times believers don't see themselves as soldiers, but rather see themselves as a pacifist, maybe. We are, as Mennonites, we're non-resistant, but that doesn't make us pacifists. They are two totally different things. A non-resistant person knows that they're in a war, but they choose rather to battle in the spiritual world instead of battling physically. That is the difference there. The thing that I want to bring out here, especially in verse 5, it says, "bringing every thought into captivity." Can you take anything captive without a fight? If you take someone who's on the street, police officers go out to arrest them, in order to capture them, there's usually a fight, and there's no difference for us in this. To the obedience of Christ, we capture this thing, we capture the mind, and we don't capture it to just anything. We capture it to Christ. It says to the obedience of Christ. That is what we are to do. You hear all kinds of fancy words many times about people being spiritual and all kinds of things that they mean with that. But to be spiritual is simply to be in Christ. That is as simple as it gets. And I love to bring down things down to the simplest form, to the common denominator, so that we can all get it. I started off by saying that we cannot encourage people unless we ourselves are encouraged. It is important what we think. What we think brings out what we say and what we do. Too many times we just associate it with what we say, but it is also important to know that what we believe not only brings out what we say, but it also brings out the things that I do. I will not be doing things that I don't believe in for very long. I might be able to consider doing them for a while, or maybe force myself to do them for a while, but I will not do them for long. So what you do as a believer and what you say as a believer affects the people around you and either encourages them or discourages them, and for yourself the same way. When you encourage yourself, when you say things, and it's the psalmist David said that, he went and strengthened himself in the Lord. I know there are people who would probably say, yeah, it's easy for you to say. Maybe you have cancer, and someone says that they don't have cancer, and they think, well, what you have, the situation you're in, you don't have anything to offer. Maybe you don't even know what it's all about. Well, I'd like for us to consider where the Apostle Paul was when he wrote this verse. The Apostle Paul spent many, many days behind bars for his faith in Christ. Now, I don't want to minimize and say, okay, Paul was there. The whole scripture is the word of God, and it applies to us all the way, not just one part or another part. Whether it was Moses, Paul, Peter, or John, whatever it was, this is written for us. Take this personally when it says here in Philippians 4:8 to meditate on these things. He understood what it was all about. Maybe another way to say, to bring everything, every thought captive, is that we take every thought captive and make it obey Jesus. What you say and do is important. And we are in a battle. What are the weapons that we have? They are not carnal. We can clearly see that here. And I want to spend just a little bit of time. I'm going to go fast this morning to try to cover most of what I have here. Prayer is a serious, serious weapon. Maybe you youth have one of the friends this week, or one of y'all's friends this week had on her WhatsApp status, she said, "Does an atheist pray?" I wrote her and said, "There's no atheist in a foxhole. When it comes time, when things get hard, people pray. Too many times we don't pray because we don't see our needs. We don't see that we have a need. Prayer is one of our great, great weapons. The Word of God is another great weapon. Fasting is a great weapon. I believe there probably needs to be a message brought on fasting again for a change. The name of Jesus. When the enemy comes lying to you, the name of Jesus, he hates that name. Do not be afraid to use that out loud. The blood of Jesus. Praising God. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." This also is a weapon of ours. If we realize that, if we come to that place and realize that we are soldiers and we see ourselves as soldiers, that is in itself is a weapon. And the reason it is a weapon is because if something hard comes our way, we don't right away let our hands hang down and say, "I can't do it." On the contrary, if we see ourselves as soldiers and know that we're in a battle, we lift up our arms, we get ourselves ready for battle, that is where our battle is, and that's where our strength is, and these are our weapons. And we could go into these weapons, and we will one of these mornings. But in Philippians chapter 4, where I ask you to keep your finger, we see this beautiful portion of Scripture that just want to encourage all of you to let this become part of your Scripture, part of something that is yours to keep. We start there in verse 4, and here we see one of those weapons. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts." We need our hearts guarded. All this weaponry that we have in Ephesians chapter 6, we have some of the things there that we need to wear, but there are more. And here we have another one. We are to guard our hearts. We have around us something that's called the power of positive thinking. And it's definitely better than the power of negative thinking. But you can believe positively about something that's a lie and it will do you absolutely no good. What I'm bringing forth this morning and what I believe the Word of God here clearly teaches is simply applied where we apply the truth in our lives and we allow this to happen, where we guard our hearts, where we use these weapons, and we are instructed to focus on these things. To be an encouragement or to be encouraged yourself, we many times try to, and I don't know you personally, all of you, but I know for myself and the people that are close to me, sometimes you don't want to think something and you tell yourself, I'm not going to think that anymore. Whatever it is, you're telling yourself 1,000 times a day, "I'm not going to think that anymore." And you find yourself that becomes your focus. And if you look at this verse here, it says, meditate on these things. Your mind is not a vacuum. If you tell yourself, "I'm not going to think that," that's what you're going to be thinking. If you reverse that, you have to find something to replace. In other words, if there's something I don't want to be thinking, then I replace it with something that I should be thinking. And it tells us here what to think on. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, those are the things we should focus on. When we try to replace something in here, then focus on something that's true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, and if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What does it mean to meditate? It means simply to think about those things, to think through them this way and think through them that way. And also, along with this comes the whole thing of being occupied. A lazy person who sits around will have a very hard time controlling their minds. That is why it's so healthy for people to be a working people. I was involved one time with a group of men that were going through something. They were going through more of it than I was. But I was involved a little bit with them, and I was visiting with them from time to time. This was in Kansas, so it's nobody here. Don't think about that. Think about it like that. But I noticed that there was about five men. I can't remember exactly, but there was one that couldn't pull through, but the others were doing just fine. They were moving on. And I was pondering that one day, and I was thinking about what it was that these men had different. What's going on? And I realized that one of these men was sitting in a tractor driving and had nothing to do for his mind. And so he's telling himself all day long, I'm not going to think this. The other men were busy working. They were occupying themselves, and that is one way to clear the junk out and to move forward. And so to be an encouragement, you have to be encouraged yourself. And this is one of the hardest lessons to learn as Christians, that we change what we're thinking. We change from focusing on the negative and focusing on the thing that we need to be thinking on, as Philippians 4 says. One of the things I want to tell you is that you have the right. Everybody thinks they have rights these days, and their rights don't belong where they think they are. There are people who assume they have rights when they have no rights. But you have the right, as a child of God, to come before the throne of grace with your things, with whatever it is. You have the right to do this. You have the blessing from God to do this. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that you do that. So getting back to what I started off with is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. And it was the last time I was here, it was in Luke chapter 6. But in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, we'll just start in verse 35. 34, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account on the day of judgment. The mistake is many times made by people who say, what I say or do is not important. I'm here to tell you today, from the least to the biggest, what you say and do is important. You can either encourage someone or you can discourage someone. And you yourself have to be encouraged to be an encourager. And so the mistake we many times make is that we don't do that. And so this morning, I just simply want to encourage you to meditate on these things. If there's one thing you walk away with this morning, those of you who have already experienced this and are past this, it's great. And that is simply, how do you stop thinking something? If you walk away with one thing this morning, and that is this: if you're having trouble stopping to think about something, find something positive or something good to think about. And if nothing else, write a Bible verse down, put it in your pocket or in your purse, ladies, and every time that comes up, you read a Bible verse. You find ways to replace what you're thinking. There is only one way to do that, and that is to replace it with something good. You can tell yourself 1,000 times, I won't think that, and you'll think it again. And so may God grant you the grace to do that. We'll bow for a word of prayer, and I want to give you time to pray for